Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
This morning, I want to talk about something that is it's like a main theme. You know, like when you're in a story, there's the main thing and then there's like little side themes as well. So in the Gospels, I want to talk about one of the central themes of the Gospels today. I'm going to start with Isaiah 61, verse 1. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and opening the prison to those who are bound." Can you guys say liberty?
Liberty.
It's a beautiful thing. We're singing, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." It's one of my favorite things about God, is who he is and what happens when we're in his presence and what happens when his Spirit lives inside of us. When I meet people and I'm talking, not the first meeting, but you know, when you're getting to know people in the second conversation or third, I love to do conversation starters. You know, you're just asking questions. And one of my fun ones I like to ask is, "Have you ever been in jail?" You want to, you're like, you know, I mean, we know each other, but like, have you ever been in jail? Have you been arrested? I'm like, I've never even been in detention. But so it's just fun to get to know you. I just want to say I've never been in jail. And I've shared this story before, but it's just funny. But I have been in something called the corkscrew. That's the closest thing that I've been in jail. And when I was in college, I went to college in Santa Cruz, California, a beautiful area where the mountains come down to the ocean. And when I went to school, we did like new student orientation. I didn't know anyone there. And so you're just meeting all these new friends. And I think like on night two or three, one of the guys who was one of the little small group leaders for the new students, he's like, "Hey, we're going to go spelunking tonight. Do you guys want to come?" And I'm like, "Sure, that sounds like fun. What's spelunking?" Like, that's where I was in life, you know, like, "Hi, new friends. Yeah, what are we doing?" So he said, "Well, it's caving. There's caves in the mountains around here, and they're really cool. Do you guys want to go?" I'm like, "That sounds great." So I remember putting like glow-in-the-dark stars on my forehead, and we were just having fun, you know, got our flashlights. And I don't know if I really thought through what caving was, like thinking like a mountain has like a little cave, and you just go in the cave, you go out of the cave. You know, I'm like, "This is going to be fun." Well, we get up there, and mind you, I only know these people all of like 3 days. So, "Hi, new friends, let's go into the mountains in the dark in Santa Cruz, caving." So we get up there, and I'm a really smart person. I think through things, you know, and think, "Gosh, where is this going?" But I realized I got up there going, I mean, they seem really trustworthy. Like, what are we doing? So there's like a group of maybe 8 of us, and we get up to the caves, and it's dark, and he says, "Yeah, we're going to go in there, and it's really far. We can go for a long ways. It actually goes down to the ocean, like miles. We're just going to go a little ways." Awesome. I don't really have an imagination of what that actually is like, but let's go. So we get in there, and we're just, there's big rooms. There's smaller rooms. We're climbing down things. There's areas that actually split, and I'm like, so we're going left, not right. And you know your way back, right? And I'm like, "Oh, I should have had a string or like dropping something, because how do I know the way out should something happen?" It was getting long. We were in there for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour. Like, we were going a ways. I'd never done something like that. And then he said, "Oh, and then by the way, there's something up ahead that we're going to go through, and it's called the corkscrew." I'm like, "Oh, cool." And he goes, you know why it's called the corkscrew, right?" I'm like, "No, I don't know why it's called the corkscrew." He said, "Because we're going to go in single file, one at a time, and you're going to want to put your hands over your head, because the corkscrew gets so tight that if you're going straight, you're going to get stuck. Your shoulder won't move or your hip, but then you just have to turn to keep going. And then you'll make it through. You know, we'll all be fine. Like, you've done this before, right?" He's like, "Oh, yeah." And I'm like, "You're a little bigger than me, so we're fine." Okay, great. I'm not claustrophobic. I'm not even worried at this point. I'm just like, interesting, you know, new experience. So someone goes in front of me, they put their arms up, and I see them go, and their legs wiggle through, and they're gone. I'm like, "Okay, Candace, you're up." So I get in there, I'm entering the corkscrew, hands over my head, and they're like, you're just kind of going to inch through. So I'm inching, and I'm like, my body's almost all the way in the corkscrew at this time, and all of a sudden, I can't move anymore. I'm like, oh, this is what he's talking about. And he says, yep, now start turning. So I'm starting to turn, and all of a sudden, I just realize, like, I don't want to be in the corkscrew anymore. Like, I want to move my arm. I'm not claustrophobic, but I would like to move this shoulder. But I just calmed down. But it was probably the first time in my life that I realized, like, oh, this is really hard to breathe right now. And that I'm smart enough to know you have to keep going to get through it. So I just take a deep breath, and I just keep inching along, and I'm turning so my body can get through the corkscrew. And I eventually make it through, and I'm like, thank you, Lord, that I'm out of the corkscrew. And then I go, well, how are we getting back? We're going to go back through the corkscrew. That's amazing. It's amazing. You know, so I can tell you, I've never been in prison. You should be happy about that. No, I've never been in prison, but I have been in the corkscrew. And I can tell you that we were not meant to live in a space like that. We weren't meant to live in prison. God didn't design us that way. But yet, sometimes because of how we go through life, we resign ourselves to be okay living constricted in a corkscrew. Do you guys ever experience that? And I know we don't consciously choose this stuff, but it just happens sometimes. But I want to tell you in Galatians 5:1, it says, for freedom, Christ came to set us free. That is his heart. That is where we're going. But I also understand that maybe that's not where we're fully living in all the parts of our life. You know, and even in the corkscrew, just realizing, I can't move my arm. I can still be alive and go, I love God, but not realizing, gosh, I'm stuck in an area of my life. And I've just been like, I think that's okay. I'm like, I just want to tell you, it is not okay. And that is not where we're staying. And so God's will for our life is that we would be free, that we would live in freedom, free to love, be loved, free to love, that freely we would receive all that he's given us, but also that we would give freely. That's in every area of our life, we'd be full functioning people, full of joy and delight. So thank you, Lord, for what you have for us. God, we love your heart. We love who you are. We just say this morning that we trust you. And I thank you for what you're providing today. God, I thank you for your guidance in our life. And I thank you, God, for where you are and where your spirit is, there is freedom. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come up and come and take residence inside of us. That you would come and inhabit all parts of us. God, and if there's any areas that need to be free, I just pray that you would set us free this morning. Yeah. That you would come and have your way. Amen. This picture I saw in this magazine once, and I loved it. I felt inspired. I saw this picture. It says, remember her? She is still there inside you, waiting. Let's go and get her. What I love about this is, you know what kids represent? They're just free. They don't think through all the context of, oh, is this appropriate or not appropriate? They are just who they are. And there's something so beautiful about the passion that you can just see on her face. The squinty eyes, the open, wide mouth. I'm like, that inspires me. I want to be free, all of who God's created me to be. See, we're all very unique, and it's beautiful, even in our differences. And I know that sometimes that gets challenging when we're in certain cultures where maybe one thing is considered more desirable or more beautiful than another. But we're all created in his image, and in that freedom and beauty, that we'd be able to be free to be who we are. That's what I longed for all of us in every space. See, throughout our lives, we're constantly growing and changing. Sometimes along the journey, we experience things that shut us down, that stunt our growth, or even trap us. Often our own bodies become the prison. Our thoughts, our past experiences, our disappointments, our hurts, or even the way we respond to being hurt. It could be offenses. Bitterness can develop, hatred, disappointments, rejection, comparison, and we internalize so much of this. But see, we weren't designed to live underneath the weight of sin and judgment. Like, our bodies weren't created, even our spirits and souls weren't created that way. So this morning, I want to talk about a few things, being central to freedom. But the first one is that the Bible clearly states that we're in a war. Like, we are living in a space where there is opposition. And there's a war for our souls, and even the war for who God is calling us to be. And there's a swirl that tries to derail us from who we're supposed to be. And I love talking about this because God is good. He is in a good mood. And we're in a war. But it would be really sad if we don't acknowledge that, because he's providing things for us and that we need. So there is sobriety in this. So today I want us to be aware that there's multiple plans for your life. Do you know that? That God has a plan for your life, but so does the devil. And they're both real. John 10:10, I love, says the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Do you see two plans for your life right there? So in that, there's also stewardship. Which plan are we going to choose, and who are we going to listen to? I love Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 13. Great instruction for us. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Do you know that God is mighty? Don't be confused at who is mighty. And in that, there is a safe place, but also a pathway forward. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the devil's schemes. I want to stop right there. Do you know that the devil has schemes? Sometimes you can feel them when you walk in, or even feel a little swirl of like, something is trying to get me to be involved in this. Or something's even trying to tempt me. Sometimes it truly is tempting. And sometimes you're like, not even. But I just want us to be aware that there are schemes. And this is important for us to acknowledge and be aware of. Because I would say in the last few months, I've seen more scheming than I'm used to. And meaning more swirls going on that people can opt in to join, or you can stand and not join. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand. Can you guys say stand?
Stand.
That's what we're supposed to do. He could have said sit. He could have said lie down. But he said that you'd be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. See, I believe that we are responsible to create the life that we want to live in, that we are responsible to steward what has been given to us. There are things that are not our responsibility, and there are things that are our responsibility. One of my favorite things to do is to ask God, okay, Lord, in everything that's going on that I'm dealing with, what is yours, what is mine, and what is theirs? Easiest three questions to be able to create some more clarity on what is yours to steward. Because sometimes things go on, and Eric's been talking about offense and forgiveness and giving us really good tools on how to walk in that. But even to navigate those things, we have to be able to clearly discern what is mine, what is theirs, and what is yours, God. Because I don't want to try and be God, but I also don't want to try and make your decisions for you either. But we are responsible to steward what God has given us. So stewardship. Okay, in the Bible too, there's two things that we're likened to in the Bible as people. One is a house. It's a place where the Spirit dwells, hopefully the Spirit of God. It's a place where the Spirit dwells. And in a house, like the analogy of a house is something, when you own a house, you get to choose whether you want to lock the doors. You could live with them completely open. You could keep them shut. What makes a house healthy? What makes a house safe? Those are things that we get to steward. Another thing that we are likened to in the Bible said that we're like good soil. That's where, when we hear the word of God, where does it go? That it's like we are cultivating, we are soil, and we get to cultivate what grows in that soil. And in this, gosh, we did our week of fasting a couple weeks ago, and I was so excited about this fast, and you get to do it, and you're like, well, it really means not eating. It was a good time, and it was really powerful, but it also was just walking through, like, yep, I'm saying yes to you, God, and saying no to this. While we were fasting, we happened to be, and Eric mentioned this, I think, last week, we happened to be redoing some of our backyard. So we moved into a place that was built, I don't know, like 6 or 7 years ago. And in South Carolina, they just tend to bulldoze and clear off all the land to build a house. They're like, so sad. It's beautiful forest all around, but no trees, no nothing. So we are doing our part in reforesting Greenville. And we just bought our 98th tree yesterday to put back in the ground. So we are doing a lot of work in the land and in the soil. So when you're fasting and just pulling weeds and preparing land, you just think through a lot of things. And just thinking through, when you're trying to plant one thing, the biggest thing that is getting in my way right now are the ugly weeds in my backyard. I know this sounds like just dumb, but it's, we have like almost 2.5 acres and they cleared it all out. So if you clear out land, do you know what grows? Weeds and then random pine trees, which is like awesome. I'm excited about those. I don't like the other things. So we've been cleaning a lot. And as I'm pulling weeds and just thinking about how do these things start? Why are all these weeds growing? This is not what I am desiring. And I just want to say that everything starts from a seed. Yep. Like, this is just nature. Hello, science. Everything starts from a seed. In nature, seeds can be carried by the wind. They get carried by water. They get carried by animals passing by. Fire as well helps even seeds reproduce. We get to choose what we want to allow to grow in our soil. So we're in a war, and we get to steward who God has made us to be. We play an active role in this. What is mine? What is God's? And what is yours? We're going to talk about what we get to steward right now. So in these past few months, I've been baffled by the swirl. I've been baffled by people being bound in a swirl or being bound and them actually behaving in ways that is not who they are and behaving in ways that are outside of who they want to be. But I don't think they were even actively aware of it, but I just got to watch. And I'm like, wow, what we partner with is really important. It affects everything. 2 Corinthians verse 10, or chapter 10, verse 3 and through 5, says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." This is a meaty, meaty verse. There is so much instruction. When I read this, I'm like, okay, so warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down every argument and high thing that exalts itself against God. So there's truth and there's lies. Which one do we partner with? And here's the thing, in our thoughts, something can come in. It's like a seed that gets blown in. Is that sin? I don't think it is. But what do you do when it comes? And I would say I mentioned vulnerabilities, like when we're hurt or we're disappointed or we feel rejected. Yeah, that happened. Wow, they didn't pick me on their team. I would always pick me, you know, I'm good. But you didn't pick me first. But then where does my thought go after that? It's okay, God will provide for me. Or, gosh, I didn't think they liked me either. Well, oh, they're against me. They're trying to make me feel even bad and push me out of their friendship circle. I'm like, there's so many places you can go with a thought. And that's where I want to say we need to be aware. When a seed gets blown in, what do we do? And this right here, here tells us if it is against what is God and against the knowledge of God, then we take that, we take it captive. It's like, here it is, take it and throw it down. We do not feed on that or feast on it. We give access to lies in our thoughts and by what we choose to entertain. I have thoughts in all different spaces. Sometimes I think I enter in spaces and I just get a thought because I'm either around someone who's thinking things or I get into an environment and there's just a swirl and something will come into my brain. But I'm like, that is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. And then I just go, no, thank you. I take it captive. I'm like, no, you don't belong here and you don't live here. That's not what I partner with. And then I find a truth to go, oh, that's what you say, God. And that's where I align my thinking. This is just the stewardship that we all get to steward and manage. Our mind's like a garden, just like my backyard. We're growing things, and soil especially in South Carolina, can grow things very easily. I mean, our trees, we planted trees almost 3 years ago, two and a half years ago, and our 3-foot trees are like 10 to 15 feet now. They're evergreens, Murray cypress, if you like them. They grow really well here, but everything grows well here. Even the weeds grow well here. So it's a lot of work. There's a lot of stewarding in Greenville. So a weed is a plant considered undesirable in a particular situation, grown where it conflicts with human preference, needs, and goals. So it's the things that creep in and steal the nutrients from us. Those are the weeds. And they can, seeds can come in any form. I mentioned it could even be innocent things, like I am discouraged. That happens to all of us. We're working hard, we're launching things, we're cultivating, and we get discouraged. But then it's like, where do you let that discouragement go? It can open doors. The Bible talks about us being like a house, but in the spaces of vulnerability, we can open doors to other things. And then it can even go to the point of creating a stronghold. Meaning, like we were in Romania, in the city, it had a citadel. It was so beautiful, but it's a wall around this inner part of the city, and it's where it was fortified. It'd be harder to break into, but that is a stronghold. And they're saying that even we don't want strongholds to happen in our life that are against the knowledge of God, but sometimes in those vulnerable places, even as we love God, we might be vulnerable and give access or let something start growing inside our land or inside our soil that we don't want there. And it affects things. It affects our freedom. It affects our ability to be who God's created us to be. And this morning, I just want to say there is a grace. There is an invitation. There is something where God's saying, hey, guys, I want you fully free. Fully free. That means every part of you being active, being able to move your limbs, not in bondage. That's what Jesus came to give his life for. It's a main theme in the gospel. It's a main theme. And it's easy to go, yes, it's my desire, and it's another to walk it out. Because that means every part of us, we're trusting in God. So what do we do? How do you break a stronghold in your life? Just want to go through this. I put down 1, 2, 3, 4 simple things. And there are other things, but I just want to go through them because I believe that it is time for us to become aware that we are in a war and there are different plans for your life. So if you're in this room and you're like, gosh, maybe there's some areas that I could be freer in. How do you break a stronghold? Stop agreeing with it. Simplest thing ever. What is it saying? You're ugly, Candace. You're dumb. You'll never amount to anything. I'm like, oh gosh, kind of feels true. I don't know. I just lost my job. There are things that could validate that. But I'm like, what do you say, God? Oh, actually, that's against everything that God says. So I need to stop agreeing with it and replace it with truth. And Ryan talked about repentance. I stop agreeing with it and go, actually, God, I trust what you say, and you say that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You say that I am so loved and chosen that you gave your only son for my life. Start replacing the lies with truth and stop agreeing with it. Number one, easy breezy thing. Sometimes harder to walk out, but it's a very easy pathway forward. Second one is bring it into the light. This is probably the biggest thing for Christians. And I'd say Christians everywhere, but especially Christians in the South, because they know the right thing to say and the right thing to do because everyone goes to church and you've been in church your whole life. But it doesn't mean that you're fully living in the light. You can just tell me things that sound like they're light. But in your life, you go home and you're like, oh no, I fully live in shame. I just worship at church and say I'm free. This is real stuff. I want us to be fully free. Even the stuff that people will never see at your house and how you treat your husband or your wife or how you treat yourself. But God knows and you know that maybe you stopped using your arms 10 years ago and you're just living a little bit trapped. God is inviting us into more levels of freedom. And when we bring it into the light, it doesn't have as much power. See, everything inside of you says, keep the struggle a secret. Wear a mask. Hide the pain. But God says the opposite. Make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may live together whole and healed. That's James 5:16 in the Message translation. Satan plays in the shadows and secrets. God lives in the land of the light and honesty. So let's bring our struggles and our issues into the light. There is freedom in that. So if you are at all like going, gosh, maybe I should talk to someone, you should. You should. And the other one, okay, so we have stop agreeing with it, bring it to the light. And then forgive. Forgiveness is so powerful. That's where our life comes from. We have freedom because we experience His forgiveness. Do you know that we bind ourselves when we don't forgive each other? Like, it'd be hard. I mean, it's hard to forgive. I'm like, but we must, because we weren't meant to live in a corkscrew or a prison. I have sat with so many people and they're like, gosh, I don't know why I can't break free from this one thing. I don't know why I continue to struggle. And then I go, okay, well, when did this start? What's going on? Holy Spirit, where are you at? Almost always, if not very often, it was at some point something hurt them and they felt rejected or there was pain and they didn't forgive. They didn't forgive God. They didn't forgive someone else. They didn't forgive themselves. It was all my fault. I don't know what it was. Sometimes when they were a child and I'm meeting with them and they're 60 years old and they're people who love God. But I tell you, forgiveness is so powerful and unforgiveness is just as powerful. Our life is in forgiveness. So if there's any area in your life where you're like, it's hard to forgive, I know. Do you have a choice? We always have a choice, but I have decided a long time ago I will always choose forgiveness because I hate the corkscrew. I will not live in that corkscrew, and that's where unforgiveness will put you. Yep. Lastly, know and walk in the authority of Christ. Christ, do you know what He did when He was alive and walked on the earth? He healed the sick. He set people free from demons. This is the God that we follow. This is who we go, I see you, and I want to become just like you. And you know what He told His disciples? He told His disciples in Matthew 10:1, He called all the 12 of them. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. That's who we are called to be. That's the authority that was given to us. Should we choose it? See, there's a lot of choice involved in all of this. What is God's? What is mine? What is yours? This is the what is mine part. Who do we want to become? And I just want to say that it's time to break off self-preservation. It's time to blow past embarrassment of what other people might think. Jesus cared enough about our freedom to give His life. So let's step into the light and be fully free, known, and loved. You no longer need to be tormented by fear, anxiety. God gave us authority over those spirits. Yes. So where are we heading? I'm wrapping up. We're heading into freedom. Yes. John 8, 31-32 says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you
free.
See, you guys know this stuff. And even in verse 36 says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. That is your lot in life. That is God's plan for you. And then my favorite prayer, and then we're going to pray, Ephesians 3, 16 and 19. I love this prayer, and I want to even just pray it over you, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. This is the best. It has not on us. It's His glory. To be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell. Can you guys say dwell?
Dwell.
There's someone dwelling in your house. And I pray it's His mighty Spirit. Let it be your mighty Spirit. May dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. My last thing on roots, when Eric and I were weeding the back hill, getting ready for mulch, we had different approaches. And I just wanted this one section fully weeded. So I got on my hands and knees for hours. And I had little tools and I had gloves on my hands. And I wanted to pull every weed out from the root because I don't want the weeds coming back through my mulch. So it took way longer. Eric's approach was to get a weed eater, and he just went and did a whole nother section. He was much faster, but I would tell you we are like a week and a half later now, or 2 weeks later, His weeds are growing. He said they're my weeds too. His section. And then where I spent the time getting the roots out, there was almost nothing in my whole section because I got it down to the root. See, there are things in our life where we're like, gosh, I don't like that. I don't know why I am afraid so much. I'm like, there's probably a reason. Why don't you go down a little deeper? When did it start? What is the truth? Oh, well, I don't trust God. Well, why don't we start there and bring ourselves? So we're talking like, let's get fully free, not just chop off the head and be like, oh, I forgive them. Like, let's move along. I'm like, oh no, we're going fully, God. I'm stepping fully into the light. When did this start? Let's get the whole thing out. So that in a week later, I'm like, I'm afraid again. I'm like, oh no, we're getting this all out. Okay, and the other thing on my list of things that break strongholds is a no-brainer, but I didn't add to my list, but trust God. When we trust God, it doesn't allow things to grow in there. And then it's an easy way to come back to him as we come fully into trust. So my final questions I want to leave us with. What are you growing? And I know we all love God. So in the context of we love God, but what are you really growing in your life? What are you watering and feeding? Because whatever you water and feed, that's what's going to get bigger. Even if you love God, if you're going to water and nurture disappointment, fear, anxiety, and you're going to spend all your time searching on the internet or ChatGPT, you're going to find that's going to get bigger. There's also, you can nurture by reading the Word of God and getting truth inside of you. You know it gets bigger, your spirit.
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.